revolves around Jesus Christ, and making that a broader statement, the gospel is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. The gospels, the New Testament, well, the Bible, the Word of God, everything about God
revolves around Jesus
Christ. He is the nucleus of all that goes on. Okay, I tend to do this and then I lose my spot. We'll start at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray to you, to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist to be held together. By him all things are maintained and keep going. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, or mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, through the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have you quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of the holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is in Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, in a voluntary humility, and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministry, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in world worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
We obviously are going to have to do some skimming to catch to cover all of this morning, but we're going to see what we can do. First of all, I'd like for us to look at verse 16. Let's go back to verse 16 of Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Raise your hand if you're a thing. We are all included in them. All things were made by him. Everything around us is included. And all things were made by him. I was just telling Ben and Sam this morning that I got a DVD came with an order that I placed this week, or a couple weeks ago, I guess, but I looked at it this week a little bit, about the creation of God. And there's just little lines in Scripture that just completely open up when you take the time or when you have the ability to truly look into the creation. Here it says that for by him were all things created. All things are created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. There's in this particular DVD, and there's others that you can see about creation and about the way things work. But to take and look at a bird and look at the structure of their skeleton and look at the way that they are designed for flight, look at the strength to weight ratio of a feather, the way a feather is designed. The fish of the sea, there are just amazing things to be seen. And I was thinking, as I was watching this, And I don't know if it's done from a camera from a ship or if it's a scuba diver, I don't know how it is, but the camera is moving through the water. And the water, again, you don't know how far down the camera is, but what you're seeing maybe is the water is very clear, and you're seeing maybe 20 feet of water or so. And just all kinds of different fish and different colors and whatever. And now these fish are filmed and we're actually seeing them. But in the scope of the ocean, there must be a tiny, tiny fraction of a percentage of any fish that are actually, from the time they are hatched or born to the time that they die, that particular fish is observed. You take the sun. The sun puts off, and again, I'm going by information they give. The sun puts off more energy in the form of light and heat. More energy in a second, every second of every day and night. It doesn't go on at night. The sun puts off more energy in every second than mankind has produced ever. All of the energy that man has produced from the day that Adam began breathing to now, putting all of that together, the sun puts off more energy in a second than man has produced. And the thing that we, just blows my mind, is that, and you probably have all seen videos that show this, but you have a video or a picture of Earth, and then it zooms out and moves Earth over to the sun, beside the sun. And you have the sun and the little Earth, and the sun just dwarfs the Earth, and it tells you the comparisons and the different things there. And then it zooms out. You see the sun move over beside another star. And then beside another, that star gets dwarfed by the next star. And there's, however many steps. Every one of these stars, that is being compared to, is putting out those amounts of energy plus. To think about it, that the sun is giving off all that energy in every direction. The sun is not a spotlight that is shining on Earth. So in a sense, you could say that, and again, I don't know any percentages of what percentage of the energy that the sun gives off actually strikes Earth and contributes to Earth, to our light, to our heat, and whatever. But it has to be a tiny fraction. The round sun giving off this heat and light in every direction. And way over here, 93 million miles away, there's a little orb called Earth that catches a very tiny percentage of it. And I say all that to say, the sun is giving off vast amounts of energy. The other stars are giving off even vaster amounts of energy. We have millions and billions of fish in the sea that are never observed by the eye. And none of it is wasted. It was made for us. We are allowed to take part in this much grander scheme than what we can imagine. In creation, it says He made the earth. He made the different things that it talks about. And there's a half a verse, a little line that says, and He also made. You can't make something that has more energy than what you've got the ability to put into it. When God put this huge mega star, and by the way, these stars that I'm talking about are in our galaxy. There are billions of galaxies. They start giving you comparisons and things, and it just, you cannot comprehend the vastness of the universe. And all of this energy energy had to have a source. All of his energy had to come from somewhere. And that is the God that we serve. There was quite a number of you that weren't here a few Wednesday nights ago when I shared about Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, who went into the throne room and sat down at the right hand of the Father and is there interceding for us. But if you read in Revelation, it gives a description of him. He's got the, and I didn't mention this then, and actually I came across this since then, but it describes his garment and his sash that he's wearing and his whatever, it describes him. And John is writing this. John says, and the thing that amazes you about this is that this Saint John leaned on Jesus' breast. This Saint John was one of Jesus's, we all know, Peter, James, and John. They were Christ's inner circle. They shared everything. When Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, they went up with him, and he was mundane enough that they fell asleep. My point is that when John met Jesus in his glorified state, it wasn't just old buddy Jesus. This is no mean as in average, no lowly Jesus that we serve. This is one who sustains all of this energy, all of the time, as we keep going. By him they were created, and by him they exist. By him, all things created in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, all things by him and for him. By him all things consist. Psalm 8. I can just go on and on here about the creation here. But the treasures of the snow, and I would say there's several little verses. There's a little verse in Genesis that says, and he made the stars also. There's another one where in Job, I think it's in Job, where it says, have you considered the treasures of the snow? And it wasn't until many, many years later that came to know from the microscope that they could actually look into the treasures of the snow and see the amazing detail and the amazing beauty that for thousands of years man was not able to go through. It's okay, it's amazing. This will make you depressed. God wants to work for that. It's amazing. Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Dropping on verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I did not realize, and I'm exposing myself here a little bit, I did not read the Sunday school lesson. Busy with this, but I did not realize that such a lesson was going to have Ephesians 3 in this morning. Ephesians 3 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. What is that phrase? What does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? We'll come back to that. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, and that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll read the parts that I have underlined. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the last two verses. exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, unto him be the glory of the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This just really struck me as I was reading it. Being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I am sure that there is some of this. I think the way we usually read this and understand this is that we are able to accept the love of God, we are able to be rooted and grounded in that, and be able to live in that. That's the first step. But I think part of being rooted and grounded in love gives us the ability to comprehend that love of God and look around and realize, you know what? Those people in Mexico, Jesus loves them. That man on the street that looks like a ball, I wonder why he doesn't do more for himself. You know what? I'd rather do something for that man because I have rooted and grounded in the love of God. And that helps me to realize the breadth of God's love and the depth of his love encompasses that man too. Me being rooted and grounded in the love of God causes that, out of that growth, causes growth out of that to be able to understand and comprehend his love for others. I believe that's why Jesus said that when you are forgiven much, you love much. If I could realize that it is not a small thing that I have been forgiven, it is not a small thing. We were singing that the song, Reaching a Vile Sinner, I'm not sure. But it says, somebody help me out. So, I know the word is vile, or vilest. Anyways, it says, and the wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. I said vile, reaching the most defiled. And then it says, by his transforming power, making him God's dear son. And I know that later in the verse he says, among the ways that Jesus reaches me, but that most divine is. That most defiled isn't someone else. I was easy to be saved. I was easy to come. I was easy to forgive. And God's grace even reaches these filthy sinners out here. I am that most defiled that needed the wonderful grace of Jesus. And when I can live in that truth, when I can realize that me being forgiven is truly an amazing thing, it makes it that I can understand and comprehend the depth and the largeness of Christ's love and extend that to others. I wrote down, Lord, give me love. Break my heart with what breaks yours. Am I able to appreciate, to care for those who are concerned? It also says in verse 18, firstborn from the dead. Man had died. Man, the species, had died. When Adam and Eve said, God said, if you eat the fruit, in that day, you will surely die. Man had died spiritually when Adam and Eve said, Jesus became man and died physically. He rose again, brought eternal life with him. He became the firstborn from the dead. This death paid the penalty. His resurrection brought the victory and the life. He became the firstborn from the dead and had many sons after that. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, thinking again of him as the head, in John 1:16 it says, "Now this fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." It's a natural occurrence that if we are connected to the head, we are going to receive of that head whatever we as a body need in order to carry out the desires of the head. It is a natural occurrence. It's natural. It's a law. If I am connected to the head, if a body is connected to a head, there's a phrase that anyone under 15 probably won't appreciate, but where your ear goes, you will follow. Where your head goes, you will follow as well. We are going to naturally, being connected to the head, we are going to receive of that head whatever we as a body need in order to carry out the desires of the head. We, the church, being connected to Christ, are going to receive from Christ whatever we as a body need in order to carry out His desires. The body is completely controlled by the head. Always. Unless there's something wrong. Going down to verse 28 and 29. Back up a little bit there, that be connected to the head. If you have an arm, I thought of trying to do some kind of illustration. I didn't give it much thought on how we would actually do it. But if I have a man up here, and I could take and let's just get real involved here. Let's say that we had some medicine or drugs or whatever you want to call it in a syringe that we could paralyze muscles. Giving a shot. So I have a man standing here, he's perfectly normal, perfectly healthy, and we give him a shot, maybe here at his wrist. And again, I don't pretend to have any idea, I have no reason to do this. And his hand goes numb and limp. That hand is still connected. It's not doing anything wrong. And I guess I want us to think about what kind of a body part am I to the body? And I feel I think that we need to look at ourselves as if you're from here. As a part of Calvary Chapel.
I'm dying of that.
Am I connected to the body in a way that I can see nourishment from the head? And as I receive that nourishment, okay, that hand is hanging there. In a sense, it's still receiving nourishment. But it's paralyzed. It does nothing to contribute to the body. And we move the shot up further, and we give a shot in the swinging of the bicycle and elbow goes. That part of the arm from all the words. And you see what I'm saying? How much dead weight can a body have? And that, you know, unless you completely cut the circulation off, that hand is still going to stay alive. It's still going to work. If you can cut the circulation off, and that hand will actually fall off. But am I a part of the body that just kind of hangs on there and receives nourishment but doesn't? If the hand refuses to meet the mouth, you know, Paul gives the illustration. If I'm not the eye, then I'm not going to help. You need the ears, you need everything. And am I a part of the body that is contributing to the body? Or Lord, do I simply like to see you very soon? Going down to verse 28 and 29, when we preach, so speaking about Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, or mature, or grown up in Christ Jesus, whereas do I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I have a challenge for you, I have a challenge for me, I have a challenge for us. First of all, that we, this is speaking from the point of a minister, Paul says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present, thinking of taking this man, I as a leader will give account. I would like to present you as perfect people, grown up, mature people that were contributing to God. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. My challenge to you, are you concerned with growing up? Are you concerned? Are you making an effort to be mature? You know, one thing about Ryan right now, he's 6 years old. He has went to school with mom, and his schooling lasts half an hour a day. Maybe. I don't know how long it takes an hour. The rest of the time, he's out with the dog, he's riding his bike, he's having fun. Why would the other woman grow up? Dad had a building. Dad had a stress. Dad had a lot of things. But there's something in that little boy that wants to grow up in the world. Are you concerned? Are you desiring? Are you striving up to grow and be a perfect, mature, growing, healthy, now I see a challenge for me. Whereas I also labor, striving according to his working with works in my neighbors look as though my labor show that he is working in me. Can't work harder or be better than the dream of how you do. That's a challenge for both of us. Does my labor, does your working, your striving, our effort get evidence of this working in us? Well, you know, that first part took a lot longer than I thought it would. I think I'm going to stop there, maybe. Trying to think if there's anything here I want to point out this time before we go on next time. I would like to for you to look at this yet. 2 Peter 1. Thinking of these messages ahead, and I had this for verse 3 of chapter 2, says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thinking of us growing up into being mature people, into being mature men and women of God. Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1:1-3. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, them that have obtained life, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given, provided everything we need to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To grow in him as well as good works, to walk. Earlier in the Colossians, it talks about pleasing, walking in a way that is pleasing to God. So, Lord willing, we'll go on with this next time. But I would like to challenge you. I would like to leave us with this challenge. Am I concerned with growing up into him? Is my focus to be a part that can contribute? But if all of this, we can never lose sight that all the strength, all the power, all the energy, we can have all the programs we want, we can have all of whatever you might have to try to make things happen. But unless you, as an individual, are putting in the effort to be connected to the body and to be connected to the head, there will be no strength in your efforts. Another secret that takes work. Carol's message last Sunday was very, very good. Very motivating. I can sit and listen to that kind of teaching and just drink it in. Almost any church service. Meaning, I love learning. I always like school. I go to faith builders, different things, seminars, whatever. I enjoy it. And I absorb it. I'm pretty good at retaining what I hear. I'm pretty good at hearing that. If you take a car and give it 5,000 horsepower, don't have the right kind of tires, you'll have all kinds of horsepower. Spend all day not doing anything. And that's my weakness. I go home motivated. I go home inspired. I go home loving what I've heard. But putting that horsepower into traction. And there is something about the way God has ordained us. We can't just say, Lord, we can say, Lord, give me strength. We can't say, Lord, make me move. So I want you to be challenged, but I also want you to be changed. Let's pray for each other. Truly, truly pray for each other. The effectual service for everyone. Let's pray for each other that this week we can be connected to the Lord. Something else that to me makes it really makes prayer special, I guess. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for each other. We pray for whomever. And a phrase we often use is, Lord, I lift. We are told to pray. Paul said, I would that men would pray everywhere, looking holy. So first of all, we need to have holy hands to do this. But there is something powerful when you pray to literally hold your hand up and ask to do others. Lord, just now, I listen to you. Lord, what would you have me to do with this? I just trust that we can be sincerely seeking body. There's a lot of power and strength and reserve that we can draw out. It has to be because of the body having power from the head. I'm cutting my arm off at the wrist. You have to separate me from the head. You have to separate me from the rest of the body. The body is put together. God has ordained that the church to be His extension. Connect to the body. Connect through that body to the head. And your own vital connection with the head. Let's see what's going on. Let's go. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much that you invite us to take part, to be your body. Lord, you say in Ephesians that you are using us to show your glory to the church. Lord, give us a heart for the church. Help us to see each other as the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be doing everything we can to make that a vibrant, living, breathing, healthy body. Lord, I pray that each one of us can have a connection with you.